Moody's recently issued two reports, one on digitization of Islamic banks in Malaysia and Indonesia, and one on virtual banks in Singapore. And according to them, digitization, along with continued government commitment to develop Islamic banking, will support the growth of the sector in both Malaysia and Indonesia.
That's right. Digitization will have the ability to give Islamic banks to grow on a double-digit level annually. It will also save costs, but this would also attract a lot of competition from the fintechs and startups.
So, I mean, however, over in Singapore, Moody's feel that the decision to issue new digital bank licenses to non-bank companies will adversely affect smaller lenders in the sector as it will ramp up competition. Rating agency said that the new digital licenses will open the door for fintech companies to use advanced technology and data analytics to offer better banking services at a relatively lower cost.
So these digital licenses are expected to shake up the banking sector in the city-state, which is currently dominated by three large domestic players, so DBS Group, Overseas Chinese Banking Corp, as well as United Overseas Bank. So to get more insights, we have Simon Chen on the line. He's Vice President and Senior Analyst at Moody's Investor Service about these reports. Thank you for joining us, Simon. Now, how will digitalization facilitate the expansion of Islamic banking in the region?
Hi, morning, everyone. I think a key issue to look at for Islamic banks is really globally how they are constrained by their limited branch network, physical presence, as compared to conventional banks. So digitization would actually allow these Islamic banks to quickly scale up their operations, really expand their reach to new customers without opening new branches. And this will have a good upside on their earnings. At the same time, I think we've been hearing about how digitization can help to increase the pace of automation, streamlining of processes. And here we are looking at perhaps lower operating costs for banks, and then that will also help them to lower the cost to acquire and serve customers.
And your report also stated that Malaysia is growing faster than Indonesia as far as Islamic banking is concerned. And Malaysia, of course, has been a leader and a center for Islamic banking for a long time. Do you think that this is sustainable given that Indonesia also has big plans?
Yeah, I think you're spot on that Malaysia has always been leading the pack in terms of building the Islamic banking landscape. And I think what we have seen in the last, in the recent years is that because of how core the Islamic operations are to the Malaysian banks, the Islamic operations in Malaysia are actually benefiting from the digitization efforts of the Malaysian banking groups. But it's not fair to say that the Indonesian banks are not doing anything. It's just the pace of digitization that we've seen in the Islamic space in Indonesia is perhaps lagging behind Malaysia because of how small the operations are currently. But both countries, Malaysia and Indonesia, they have actually very favorable conditions for greater digitization efforts. If you're looking at the increasing penetration of internet access and mobile phones in both countries, and Indonesia banking penetration is low, which means to say that there is actually a lot of space for the fintech players to come in to grow the sector. So I think the digitization of Islamic banks is a theme that we'll continue to see in the foreseeable future.
And let's move on to Singapore. Although the big three Singaporean banks have already started digitalization efforts, will the threat to their market share actually come from new players like Grab, which are also reportedly eyeing a digital bank license?
Yeah, I think in the Singapore banking landscape, as we mentioned earlier, there are three large banks, and these three banks have actually a very, very solid franchise, and that is the advantage that I think that the Singapore banks will continue to keep when the new digital banks come in. And because of how solid their franchise is and how sticky the customer relationships are, it will not be easy for the new digital banks take over the customers of the big three banks. Instead, where we think the threats are going to be is particularly on the smaller banks in Singapore, where that's where the fintech players could pose some competition in taking away some customers.
Simon, I'd also like your thoughts on the Malaysian banking sector, because Malaysia also has aspirations to issue a digital bank licenses, and non-banks like Grab are keen to apply. So do you see the situation that you described there in Singapore, so smaller banks facing more of a threat? Do you see this replicating itself here in Malaysia? How big of a threat would it be to the Malaysian banking sector?
Yeah, my view is that I think the banking landscape in Malaysia has always been very competitive. It's a very saturated market. The entry of new digital banks will add to the competition, particularly in the retail and SME sectors. We've heard about the fintech players wanting to compete in those spaces. So, but I think in Malaysia, you also have a group of very large, sizable banks and. I think the story could pan out the same way in Malaysia, that the smaller banks would be at the greater threat of being disrupted. But I think what we have seen in Malaysia is that even the smaller banks have invested pretty heavily in digitization efforts. So I think while the smaller banks could be at the greater threat of disruption, I think they are pretty well positioned to face the competition from the fintech players.
Thank you very much, Simon. And that was Simon Chen, Vice President and Senior Analyst at Moody's Investor Service, giving his thoughts on both Islamic banks as well as traditional banks and how they are going to be adapting to the digitalization and the introduction of virtual banking licenses.
Yeah, I think that this is going to put a lot of the big banks even on the edge because some of these tech companies are huge, right? I mean, if you look at a local one, for example, Grab, they are value at 10 billion, let alone the very big ones like Alibaba, they can accumulate to an asset size that are sometimes bigger than some of the banks that we see. Also, Libra Coin by Facebook, right? This is making a lot of banks and central banks around the world nervous. So it'll be very interesting to see how central banks in Malaysia, Singapore, and around the world would navigate this in terms of dishing out digital licenses to traditionally what are not banks.
Yeah, so I mean, looking at a recent report by The Edge, there are five parties that's actually applied for Malaysia's virtual banking license, and out of the five, only one is a technology company. So it's CIMB, FN Bank, Hong Leong, M Bank, and the other one is Grab. And all this party reportedly, they're all open to it, and only Grab and FN seems to indicate active interest to pursue the license.
Yeah, so it has been rumored that Grab is also applying for a virtual banking license in Singapore. And among the five players that you mentioned, Sharit, CIMB is the only one with actual experience in running a virtual bank. They launched digital-only banks in both the Philippines as well as Vietnam.
Yeah, at the end of the day, among all this risk and opportunities for the traditional players like banks in Malaysia, I'm looking forward to the new digital banks or even some of the non-banks providing services like P2P, ECF and so on, because it really gives the big banks a run for its money. The user experience is going to be better. You're going to get better interest rates, both as a borrower as well as a lender. So the tech companies have a position to actually disintermediate the activity of the banks and at the end of the day, like, make us happier. Look at the user experience of going to any banking website today. It's horrendous, right?
Yeah.
But pick up a Grab app and you can navigate through that app so seamlessly.
Exactly. And it's also going to be interesting to see how the existing, especially the large traditional banks, how they adapt to these new regulations. Because as we've seen, of the five applicants for virtual banking licenses, four of them are banks. And because I guess in this situation, if you can't beat them, join them, right? So it's going to be interesting to see how this industry evolves. BFM 89.9.